Is Kevin Hohalter appearing on behalf of Mr. Johnson. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
We are here today on a prospective class action petition for a writ of prohibition because
the court never got to the class action, did it? Because it dismissed the writ of prohibition.
That's correct. Certification of a class is not before the court today. The trial court did not decide it.
So we have the writ of prohibition, and the standard of review is, as I understand it, abuse of discretion?
It's, I guess, a mixed standard in this case. Whether the department has authority to do the things it's been doing is a question of law that is reviewed de novo.
And that was on summary judgment?
That was on summary judgment,
and that's
correct.
Your first argument. I mean, you argued the Department of Licensing does not have the authority, as I understand it.
Right. And then
you argue, and I guess you'll have to say as to which suspension and which infraction or crime, but and then you argue that the 2012 amendments are retroactive. Those are your main arguments, as I see it.
Well, the question of whether the amendments are retroactive was something that was argued in the trial court,
right?
And we, anticipating that the department would raise those issues again, we addressed them in our opening brief.
So really your argument?
The core of the argument is that the amendments changed the authority of the department, and a change in the department's authority takes effect immediately on the effective date of the act. And so...
Well, isn't that another way of arguing it's retroactive?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define retroactive. I look at it as being a prospective effect because it's an effect on the authority. Now, if
the authority as to what has already happened previously.
Well, and that's where...
Isn't that your position?
That's where I differ from the department's take, is that I see this as...
Well, what are you asking for? You were asking the court to direct the department to reinstate all the licenses that had been suspended that were related to non-moving violations before the effective date of 2012. So isn't that what you were asking?
That is correct. And the reason I don't see that as retroactive is because, first of all, a driver's license is a valuable property interest of the driver. It can't be taken away without due process, without statutory authority by the department.
Well, when the department suspends, it's already taken away.
Yes. Now, when the department suspends a license, that's a temporary withholding of the privilege. The department can only withhold that privilege as long as it has statutory authority to do so. And so when, on the effective date of the act, that statutory authority was gone as to non-moving violations. And so the only choice for the department can't withhold it anymore. They've got to give it back. They've got to give back the license that rightfully belongs to the driver. And so the way I see it, that's having a prospective effect. It is ending the temporary withholding of the driver's license. Now, if we want to conceive of it as being retroactive, saying, well, what you're really doing is going back and changing something that happened before,
mm-hmm.
It is still the correct result here. The courts have made clear that a remedial act or a remedial amendment is presumed to have retroactive effect. And so in order for the court to restrict that to prospective only, there's got to be some evidence that the legislature specifically intended prospective only. And we don't have that here. This is a remedial amendment because it affects remedies. It changes the remedy that the state has for a person's failure to pay their debt. suspension for failure to pay is just a coercive tool for the state to get that payment. And so the act here has changed the remedies, so it is a remedial act. The department argues, well, the act didn't provide a new remedy, but that's not what the cases require. The cases say that a remedial act is one that affects procedures and remedies and does not impact a substantive right. And here, the state, the department does not have a substantive right to suspend a license. Suspension is a remedy. And so no matter how we conceive of it, whether prospective or retroactive, termination of those suspensions on the effective date of the act is the correct result. The second type of suspension that we put at issue here is suspension for failure to pay a criminal penalty.
Now, that was not part of the writ.
It was not artfully stated.
It wasn't mentioned at all in the writ, artfully or otherwise.
The writ does talk about suspension for failure to pay a traffic fine. Now,
it doesn't say anything about 2009. I mean, the first time that came up was when the Department of Licensing helped you out by responding and talking about the 2009 suspension. So
okay.
Go ahead and tell me about your argument related to the 2009 suspension.
So the 2009 suspension was for failure to pay the criminal
right.
fine for driving with license suspended in the third degree.
That's right.
And we believe that there is no statutory authority allowing the department to suspend for that kind of failure to pay.
Under 2012 or in 2009 or?
All the way back in 2009.
All the way back to 2009.
If we go to the former statute,
okay.
It's not there.
Okay, thank you.
You have used your opening time.
Do you want to continue or do you want to sit down? And
I will sit down.
All right.
May it please the court, Dion Padilla-Huddleston on behalf of the Department of Licensing and its director, Pat Kohler. The court should affirm the dismissal of Mr. Johnson's petition for writ of prohibition for three reasons. First, Johnson's petition was not proper as the department did not exceed its authority in suspending his driving privilege and Mr. Johnson has adequate legal remedies. Second,
What are the adequate legal remedies? That seemed a little elusive.
Yes,
I don't think a declaratory judgment action is it, but what are the other ones? To go back to the district court?
Correct, Your Honor. He had multiple alternative adequate legal remedies. One would have been to go back to the district court at any time after the statutory amendments to
and
insert,
pay or get on a payment plan?
To either pay or to challenge the district court's imposition of the monetary penalties, making a legal argument that they were no longer authorized to do that under the statutory change.
I mean, that just seems, he was trying to do that in his writ of prohibition. So wouldn't it be go back to the district court to either pay or get on a payment plan? Isn't that the remedy?
Correct. Those were his alternative legal remedies, including the administrative.
He chose not to do that.
Correct, Your Honor. And he failed to meet one of the elements for the issuance of a writ of prohibition. But even assuming that it was the appropriate procedure here, the dismissal should still be affirmed because the department has correctly interpreted 4620-289, including its amendments, and both the 2007 suspension and the 2009 suspension remain valid and proper. 4620-289 set up a two-step process. First, the district court informs the department, the department gets notice from the district court of a suspension of driver's failure to pay or failure to appear, any of the reasons set forth in the statute. And second, the statute then dictates the condition for when that suspension can be released. It can only be released when the department gets further notice from the district court that the suspension has been adjudicated. In fact, the statute says that the suspension remains in effect until that time. The statutory change in 2013 only changed that first provision as to making this distinguishment between moving and non-moving violations.
Right. It's only moving now.
Correct. It did not change when the department can release those suspensions. So for Mr. Johnson to argue that a prospective application of this statute has some effect on his suspension is incorrect. The only thing the statute changed was when the department gets notice from the district court of a when it needs to suspend. It didn't have any impact on existing suspensions because there was nothing that changed about the statute as to when the department can release existing suspensions. Mr. Johnson makes an argument, as Your Honors note, that that the triggering event is present failure to pay, that it's his continued suspension every day is what is the triggering event. And that is inconsistent with the case law that he cites in his brief and with comments.
What case law?
Excuse me?
What case law?
He cites to Belgrade and Heidgerken. The rule in Belgrade was that a statute operates prospectively if the triggering event occurred after the enactment of the statute, but had its origin in a situation arising before the enactment of the statute. And that rule can't be applied here because the triggering event was the department's receipt of the notice from the district court of the need to suspend. That took place prior to the 2013 amendments. Therefore, that was a triggering event.
2012? I mean, they took effect in 2013.
Correct, Your Honor. They were enacted in 2012, but took effect in 2013, June 1st of 2013.
So what about his argument about the 2009 failure to pay for the DWLS-3? There does seem to be a statutory glitch.
No, Your Honor. That 2009 suspension was effective when imposed, and Mr. Johnson had the opportunity to challenge that suspension in 2009. Nothing about the 2012 amendments changed that suspension because it's a moving violation suspension.
Right.
So the court shouldn't even consider that suspension because he already passed his opportunity to seek administrative review.
Administrative review, or he should have raised that with the Supreme Court in the first go-around?
He could have sought administrative review once he received notice from the Department of Licensing of the suspension. He could have challenged some of these related issues, perhaps before the Supreme Court. That was an appeal of his criminal conviction. It wasn't related to the subsequent suspension for failure to pay the fines associated with that criminal suspension. But certainly the rule enunciated in State versus Johnson regarding what failure to comply with a notice of a traffic infraction or citation should be equally persuasive to the criminal citation, as the court found it was, to the traffic infraction at issue in State versus Johnson. There's no reason for this court to interpret failure to comply with the terms of a traffic infraction differently than failure to comply with the terms of a criminal citation, and that equals failure to pay the associated fines.
But the statutes related to those, to an infraction and a citation, are different, and the obligation that is put on the district court is different. I don't think it changes DOL's authority, but it certainly is different as to the district court's obligation.
The Department of Licensing receives notice from the district court in either circumstance of the subsequent responsibility of the department to suspend for failure to pay. And 4620-291, as it existed in 2009, as well as 4620-289, both of those statutes use the word traffic infraction or citation in relation to failure to comply with the underlying traffic issue that the driver is facing. And that means here, failure to comply means, as the Supreme Court said in State versus Johnson, failure to pay your related traffic fines.
But I guess your real argument is that he should have filed an administrative appeal for the 2009 argument that he's making here.
Correct, Your Honor. In 2009, when he received the suspension notice from the Department of Licensing, he could have filed an administrative review seeking challenging the department's authority to suspend his license and making the argument that he's making now that failure to comply does not mean failure to pay when you're talking about a criminal citation. He failed to do that and shouldn't now have the opportunity years later to try and make those same arguments. And similarly, he could have also still now have paid his fines or sought a certificate of education from the district court to resolve his underlying criminal citation and his failure to pay his fines.
But then we'd still be here. I mean, I know you're taking that position.
Well, the department's certainly asking the court to make a determination on, we're not seeking to avoid a determination on the propriety of his suspension, but the court certainly doesn't need to reach that issue. It could find alternatively that the 2007 suspension was valid because the amendments to 4622.89 were not retroactive and didn't authorize the department to lift or otherwise provide any kind of relief to drivers in Mr. Johnson's position, drivers who had an existing suspension for non-moving violation.
So I know you've made this argument in your brief. So your argument is we could just ignore whatever the argument is as to 2009 if we agreed with the analysis for 2007.
Correct. Mr. Johnson is suspended under either the 2007 or the 2009 suspensions.
How important is it to the Department of Licensing to have clarity as to the arguments that he's making in this case?
If the court was going to reach the merits of to find that the writ of to either find that the writ of prohibition was proper or that regardless of whether it was proper that you're going to reach the merits, we'd certainly want a clear ruling from the court on the retroactivity of 4622.89, but the court certainly need not reach that issue if it decides separately. Okay. If there are no further questions, Your Honors, the Superior Court did not abuse its discretion in denying the writ of prohibition, and the defendant's request that the Superior Court order granting the motion for summary judgment and dismissing the petition be affirmed.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson did not have an adequate legal remedy. Going back to the district court would not have accomplished the purpose of this petition for a writ of prohibition. The purpose here, the relief we're looking for, is not how can we get Mr. Johnson's license back. The relief we're asking for is to rein in the unauthorized acts of the Department of Licensing. The district court can't do that. A writ of prohibition can. As to the 2009 issue, Mr. Johnson did not have an opportunity to challenge the legal basis for that suspension. An administrative review that's available under RCW 4622.45 is a paper exercise. The staff members at the Department of Licensing
You concede that there is such an administrative review.
There is an administrative review, but its only purpose is to factually determine whether the papers accurately reflect the decision of the court and identify the correct person. There is no opportunity to raise legal arguments to say that a suspension would be improper as a matter of law.
What about the argument that we don't need to even reach 2009 if we agreed with the Department of Licensing on 2007?
That's incorrect, Your Honor.
Why?
Because on the records of the department, each of these suspensions is a separate item. There is a suspension for the 2007. There is a suspension for the 2009. If either one of those is unauthorized, it needs to come off of the record. It needs to come off of those driver's records. And here's a good illustration why. If Mr. Johnson were to come up with the money to pay his fines on the 2007.
Well, there's a big dispute about that, but go ahead.
Right, but hypothetically, if the 2009 is improper, it should come off so that then if Mr. Johnson can pay his fine on the 2007 and get his license back. If this court skipped the 2009, he can't do that. It's still there. The rationale that the department relies on, saying that the case of State v. Johnson decided failure to comply, it doesn't hold up when you look at the actual decision in State v. Johnson.
Well, they weren't looking at the...
Right, but it's, I mean, it's an analogy, right? They're
right.
saying that failure to comply,
right.
because it means failure to pay an infraction,
right.
it has to also mean failure to pay a citation. Well, the logic doesn't fit. A citation is very different from an infraction. So the department did not have authority for either of these suspensions. We ask that this court reverse and remand for issuance of a proper writ of prohibition. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next.